Va'adaraba, just the opposite. Iker mitzvah tzitzis hoya al pi horoiv alidei kilayim bizman shehoya tcheles kedemashma bepoiskim. Not only is kilayim not forbidden in tzitzis, but the preferred tzitzis was where it combined wool and linen at the time that tcheles was available, as is written in Poiskim, as the Shulchan Aruch tells us. Because when two opposites are combined, dahinu tzemer upishtim, wool and linen, bimkoi mitzvah, and they're functioning, they're contributing to doing a mitzvah, azai nasem izeh das digdusha, then it's a das of holiness, shehu tikana begodim kanal. The ikar, al yedei hatcheles, kemavur heitev lael behilchas tzitzis aloch aleph, ayin sham. However, the main effectiveness of tzitzis, and especially regarding this issue of being able to have kilayim in tzitzis, is dependent on the tcheles, as Rav Nosson Zal explained earlier in Orach Chaim, Volume 1, in Hilchas Tzitzis, Halacha Aleph. Ayin Sham, look over there where Rav Nosson Zal discussed this. V'alkein nikra isur kilei begodim shatneis. Now you'll understand also why when a Jew combines wool and linen illegally in a garment, it's, you know, not for tzitzis, or not for the begodim of the kohen, it's called shatneis. Ki pegam habegodim hu pegam hadibur kemavur heiter b'mayim ranal ayin shom. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 29 in the Likutei Moharan that when a person's garments are no good, are defective, then the person's speech is defective. The clothing is malchus and dibur is malchus. Rabbeinu Zal in Torah Dalet in Likutei Moharan quotes the Gemara, Dabor echot ladoer, one leader to a generation, one speaker to a generation. So therefore, we see that dibur is malchus and the clothing is malchus. When a person fixes their clothing, it's tikkun hadibur also. V'shatneis hu bechinas pigam hadibur. Whereas shatneis represents defective speech. Kihem bechinas ho'oisius shenoflu v'nishburu. Because the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that these letters, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, and Zayin, are letters that fell spiritually, V'alkein tzrichen tikkun, and therefore they require a major tikkun, Kayadua, as is known in the Sifrei Kabbalah. V'hu bechinas dibur she'enoi nishma, hamavur sham betchila samaymar. And Rav Nosson Zal says, when we mention defective speech, we're talking about a person who says things that people refuse to accept. They refuse to listen to what he's saying. Rabbeinu Zal over there opens up that chapter in the Likutei Moharan by saying, not every dibur is called dibur. Not every speech is a speech. Because a speech that people refuse to listen to, that they don't want to hear, that's not called dibur. Dibur is when it's niskabel, when people enjoy hearing what the person is saying and they accept his words. That's called dibur. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, when we speak about defective garments and defective speech, we're talking about words that are not listened to. Kizehu bechinas ha'oiseis hanefulan anal. This relates to those letters, those five letters, shatnez, which are the fallen letters, shem shatnez kanal. Ki ikar hashviro hoiso al yedei sheloi kiblu oir ho'izen. Kama shekosu beitz chayim. Now Rav Nosson Zal is touching on a little bit of Kabbalah. He says, because when we speak about that during the time of creation, there was a shviras hakelim. There were vessels that shattered. The Arizal explains in the Sefer Eitz Chaim that the main breakage took place as a result of the fact that they were not able to receive the light of the ear, E-A-R. Exactly what this is referring to, Im Yitzhak Sheman will study the writings of the Arizal in more detail, will understand it better. Rav Nosson Zal makes reference to this two or three places in the Likutei Halachos, he talks about the fact that the Shaviro was by the Oznayim. The Bnei Socher speaks about this, about the ears and the eyes coming, what roles they play in man, and how they were affected by this Shvira Sakelim that took place. V'zehu b'chinas dibur she'enoi nishma. And this is the concept of what Rabbein Azal says there, that defective speech, a speech that is lacking, is a speech which people don't hear, they don't want to listen to. Dahainu sheloi kibel oir ho'ezen, meaning it did not receive the light of the ears. The ears are the listening. Bechinas dibur, exactly. She'enoi nikra dibur klal. And therefore, it doesn't rate being considered dibur. Such dibur doesn't count at all. Dibur that people won't listen to at all. Ki hu bechinas oisiois shvurin hanal. It's like the concept of those letters that are broken. If you try to make words from letters that are broken, your words aren't going to have any effect. V'ze b'chinas shatnes kanal, sheze b'chinas pegam habegodim kanal. V'ze shekosuv besforim, and this is why it's written in Sforim, and this is a very, very major warning. Shemi shelovush shatnes, that if a Jew is chas v'shalom wearing shatnes, if he's wearing a garment that has wool and linen in it, ein tefilosoi oile. That person's tefila will not be able to go up to heaven. Ki hu bechinas dibur sheina nishma kanal. Rav Nosson says, look, because it's exactly like what Rabbein Azal said over there, that when your garments are defective, your speech is defective. What's called defective speech? Speech that is not accepted, that is not listened to. So therefore, a person who has this defective garment, the shatnez, his speech, his tefillah, chas v'shalom, will not be listened to. V'ayin kol zeh behilchas tzitzis, ayin shom heitev. Rav Nosson Zal says, for more information on this topic, go back to the beginning of Or HaChaim, Likutei Halachos. There in Hilchas Tzitzis, Rav Nosson Zal has a number of discussions on this topic, the issue of wool and linen and kayin and hevel, and why in tzitzis kilayim is permitted, during the days that they were positive that they had tcheles, and why today we don't do it, etc. All of this Rav Nosson Zal goes into over there. Interesting, I remember as a kid growing up in New York, this is going back, it's about 5 or 6 years ago when I was a child, now more like 45 years ago, I remember at that time was when they were first really getting started up. There were a number of very religious Jews, European Jews, who found their niche. People are always looking how to make a parnassah. You know, they found their niche to have a parnassah that would be an incredible, incredible benefit for Klal Yisrael. And they opened up a shatnez laboratory, meaning these were the first people who studied. They studied with chemists, with people who are knowledgeable in materials and in being able to, how to identify if something has linen in it. They studied clothing making to find out all the different factories in America and importers, you know, where in the garment there is the potential for shatnez. I remember one of the key places was that wasn't so much in the garment itself as much as in the lining of the garment, or in the stuffing that's used in the sleeves, or different places like that. And these people studied this and became experts, major, major experts in being able to examine any kind of garment, men's, ladies' garments, and be able to give you a good housekeeping seal of approval, to give you that famous non-shatnez label that they would sew into your garment, which was a proof that this garment had been tested by people who really know how to test it, and they're positive that it has no combination of wool and linen in it whatsoever. And there was tremendous emphasis as we were growing up. In yeshiva, they always mentioned this, that just because you look at the ingredients of a garment and it says 60% wool, rayon, this, that, and it doesn't mention linen at all, it does not mean that it doesn't have linen in it. Because again, if the linen is used in the lining or the linen is used in the stuffing for the sleeves or something like that, they're not required to put that in as an ingredient to the, because it's not part of the actual coat. The coat doesn't have a trace of linen in it, but the lining does, or the stuffing does, or something like that, which still definitely is considered chatneys. And at that time, there was one place in New York State. New York State, I think, is larger than Eretz Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken, much larger than Eretz Yisrael. There was one place in the entire state of New York that did this chatneys testing, which was like a little basement in Williamsburg, in New York. Today, you might have 1,000 places in the state of New York that these people have branched out. They've taught other people in order to help the Jewish community, because as the Jewish community grew, as the number of religious Jews has grown, you need people in every neighborhood to make it convenient, that will pick it up, will deliver all kinds of things to make it more easy for Jews to be able to fulfill this tremendously important mitzvah, you know, to avoid shatness. Baruch Hashem, here in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, there are places in Me'e Shorim, other neighborhoods, Har Nof. I remember when I lived there, there were people who had studied from the professionals and were given an approval that they are qualified to check all your garments, and again, to give you that label that shows. I remember they said at that time, it was European things that were made in the United States. There they didn't use linen that much, but clothing, suits, and other things like that were made in Europe very, very often were caught having linen in it, number one. In addition, a tremendous warning that if the storekeeper tells you that there's no linen in it, then you can probably be assured, chas v'shalcha, that it might have linen in it. Meaning, we never, ever, ever take a storekeeper's word on this, you know, a secher, a dealer, you know, because he has the difficulty of wanting to do business, wanting to sell his garments. And the Torah tells us, ki ha-sheichad ya'aver einei chachamim, that money blinds people sometimes, and people do funny things when it comes to money, where since he's probably sure that it doesn't, because it doesn't say, you know, he might easily say such a thing, and therefore it's very, very good. If a person's buying clothing, unless you know for sure that the factory where the clothing is made has a hechsher from a reliable Jewish organization that's qualified to give a hechsher, that this factory does not produce any garments that are shatnez. Today, both in New York and in Eretz Yisrael here, there are a number of major companies that they import from the United States, GGG, Broadway Clothing, something at G&B, which are famous factories which are owned by Orthodox religious Jews, Haredi Jews. And there, the factory has a hechsher on it, so that the stores that are selling garments made by those companies, a person can be comfortable. Usually, every suit that they sell has that label sewn into it already. But if a person is buying in other stores where they're using, you know, non-Jewish clothing made by non-Jews, you have to make sure that you don't wear any such garment before it's first been tested by reliable professionals who are qualified to be able to let you know that. And again, to have them put that label in the garment, it's a certain peace of mind, and that's just like Lahavdil on food, they put an OU, an OK, they put the label. Clothing also, we're learning about this kelaim, clothing requires a hechsher. Now, there are certain garments, a shirt, I believe, in, does not require any shatness testing or anything like that. It's more so jackets, could be sweaters. Again, these things could change. You know, I'm still thinking the 45 years ago, the person would have to check with the shatness laboratories of today to find out which garments we don't have to worry at all. An interesting case of this was these characters who go to Uman, these Breslovers, who go to Uman, and some of them have other interests when they come to Uman, like shopping. And they bought these kuchmas, they bought these hats, which to buy them in Israel or New York would cost $50, and in Uman it was $2, $3. So people bought one for their mother-in-law, for their cat, and they bought a couple for themselves. And people started wearing it, and then somebody got the bright idea, hey, I wonder what materials they use here. and it was tested and found to be shatnez. Many of those hats were found to be shatnez, and therefore the word was put out by the Breslov rabbis, you buy such a hat there, do not wear it until you have it tested first for shatnez. The alkane, and therefore, gam betzitzis, even when it comes to tzitzis, klei kufsa, gam betzitzis klei kufsa, pturin minat tzitzis, ve'ein habegodim chayev betzitzis, kiim kishaloivshim ha'odam. Rav Nosson Zal says, now you'll understand also why when it comes to the issue of tzitzis, cloths or anything like that that's you put into a box, you don't wear it. If you don't wear it, let's say people have furniture, and on top of the furniture they like to spread like a colored cloth or anything like that. It's part of, you know, how they dress up their living room, you know, or their, you know, by putting a cloth over it, something like that. So klei kufsa is potter from tzitzis. If you have a four-cornered cloth that's the size of a garment that you would normally put tzitzis on, if that cloth is not used for wearing, it's exempt from tzitzis. Ve'ein habegodim chayovim betzitzis kim kshaloiv shan hodam. And clothing, even garments, are not chayev in tzitzis unless a person wears it. Ki habegodim biatzmon kolzman she'ein hodam loiv shan, ein bohem shum chiyus v'chashivus. Because clothing, until a person wears it, is of no real significance. It doesn't have any life to it, any spiritual life to it. Kihem bebechinas malchus, because we mentioned that clothing is like malchus, delesla migarmo klum, which has no light of its own. Malchus is compared to the moon, which has no light of its own. It only reflects the light of the sun, meaning that the clothing has no light, kiim kishaloiv shan hodom, other than when a human being is wearing it. Shubachin as das, he's a representative of das, shemeir bohem, and he shines that das into the clothing, into the malchus. Va'oz nishlomim, and then the garment becomes whole, it becomes complete. Va'zai shayach bohem mitzvah va'avera, and it's at that point when the clothing is being worn, then it can be tzitzis, or it can be kilayim, it could be whatever. V'tzorech lasis ben tzitzis kedei l'shomron. And we have, therefore, if it's a four-cornered garment that meets the requirements of tzitzis, you have to make sure to put tzitzis on it, you know, if you're going to be wearing it, as we explained in Hilchos Tzitzis. V'zeh b'chinas milsa ala bishayhu yakira. That a garment on the one that's wearing it is precious. Ki ikar yoifi v'chashivus habegodim hu kishaloiv shenoisam. Because the main beauty and importance of clothing is when they're being worn. Interesting, maybe. This might be an interesting thing why, specifically when it comes to clothing, the stores that are selling it, they have these mannequins. In other words, it's not enough to show you clothing on a shelf. People aren't going to buy. They have to show you somebody wearing the garment. That attracts attention. That's when it's clothing, when it's being worn. V'alkein korah habegodim b'loshin milsa, and that's why the Gemara uses this term milsa, referring to clothing, shehu loshin dibur, because in Aramaic, the word milsa means garment, and the word milsa also means dibur, speech. Ki habegodim heim bebechinas dibur kanal, because as we mentioned earlier, and as Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran, the garments of a person are related to the speech of the person. Both of them are malchus. Clothing is malchus, melech hakovoid, right? And dibur is malchus. Baruch Hashem.